B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Did Brad ever approach you or Wick about possibly stepping away from basketball? At any point, did he give you a sense that he might want to consider a different position?
No.
Never. There was never any talk about that.
No, if Wick didn't want Brad as president, Brad would be our coach still for as long as he wanted to be that coach.
Oh, that's a great approach. Yeah, it doesn't matter if the team's underperforming or the players have tuned out the coach or if the coach is doing a bad job, he gets to pick when he leaves. He would have been the coach for as long as he wanted. That's a great way to run it. Tremendous. I just hope that was a figure of speech from Danny and not, you know, the actual truth. But still.
But look at the way they make decisions over the last, 20 years. Don't you think it's true?
Yeah, it feels that's the way they run it. It's like this blind love and faith and, oh, my God.
Well, once you're a Celtic, you're a Celtic.
Jesus.
You're here as long as you'd like to be.
It's not helping you out, folks. It doesn't help out the organization. It just doesn't.
No, it's like being in the mob. You can't get out.
Right. Ridiculous.
Blood oath.
You know, optimism and just... Oh, God. Yeah, some accountability, some sort of somewhere, somehow, someone saying it's not okay. But either way, so whether you really believe that or not, that was Ainge this morning on TNR. He still called in even a day after he was retired. So there's that. But the other thing is, just the way he answered that question, it's like, no, this was never on the table at any point until... Wick figured out a new gym would cost too much money and he'd want his own coach and that would cost too much money. So then we went to Brad because we're going to reassign you instead of firing you. And so that's what we're going to do. Cause that's what happened. It was not on anyone's radar until the circumstances, meaning the money and the contracts dictated it. That's what I think.
And what are Brad's qualifications for that job?
He doesn't have them.
Right.
I mean, other than the fact that he coached in the league for 8 years and look, he might be a decent evaluator of talent. I don't dispute some of that, but the question is, this was not their preferred path. They were calling around. Their first instinct was to look outside. So, again, this tells you two things. One, they didn't necessarily see Stevens in this role. And two, that, they weren't happy with Stevens' performance as the coach or the relationship between Stevens and the players. Whatever it is, ultimately... part of the reason they considered it is because they knew they needed a fresh voice in the locker room. So, look, everybody wants to paint this thing out to be some sort of happy picture. The year was a disaster. And Stevens knows that the players tuned him out, which is part of the reason he probably said okay along with the money.
I also have a wee bit of a conspiracy theory, too. This is just something that...
Go.
I know this isn't David Stern's league anymore, and he's long past, but I do believe that the NBA is still very influential at the very top, and considering that they have a predominantly African-American workforce, would you put it past the league also saying, after all those Ainge comments and the heat that brought late last week, that they maybe had some influence and said, we can't have this?
I'm glad you brought this up. I do. Murray, I think you're onto something, but I think we have the order reversed. In other words... I don't think Ainge lost his job because of the comments on TNR last week about in 26 years, those tone deaf comments and the thing that was pulled up from the analytics conference 2 years before. He wasn't fired because of that.
Right. I just maybe think this exacerbated it.
Well, no. I think he said what he said on TNR last week because he knew he was gone and he didn't have to play the game anymore.
Maybe.
Oh.
So,
I wouldn't rule out a league element in this.
Well, I mean, yeah, maybe, but it's all a part of... I do believe that Danny feels this way. I think he's political, more political than he has let on in the past, and it seeps out in this thing. I don't think it's a race thing. I think it's a politics thing. And either way, he's not willing to play the game of the players to the point where last week, I had 26 years, I never heard this, and I don't listen to the players. And I think he has the freedom to say that from the golf course in the middle of a playoff series because he knows he's out. So he can just say it.
He definitely knew he was out.
So I don't think he's out because he said it. I think he said it because he's out.
Yeah, he stopped caring.
Just reverse the order.
Yeah, he stopped caring.
The thing 2 years ago is different. The thing 2 years ago is a real insight into his psyche, which is these liberals, these liberal kids, limousine liberals. No, no way, I'm not listening to them. You know, so, but that's his worldview, which makes it hard to connect with these modern day African-American NBA players. Let me tell you that.
Yeah, I think there was a disconnect there, too. Just look at how the league has changed in the last, like, call it, I don't know, 8 years.
Three.
I mean, the last year since the George Floyd thing, especially. I mean, they shut the league down over a police incident.
Yeah.
That the players refused to play. Like, that, it's really... You say the last eight, you say the last three. I think it's really like the last 14 months.
Okay, but I'm even talking as it pertains to roster building, okay, that LeBron has completely changed.
Oh, that piece. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, LeBron has completely changed the power structure in the NBA. It is just not the same. Now the players call all the shots. The CBA is 4 and 5 year deals. That's all it is. So the players like to sign these short-term deals, then go back in the market, make more money, and they have all the power because they have the talent. And for the longest period of time, the players never left their markets. Tim Duncan didn't leave. He wasn't that long ago.
So not just that, but combine the two things.
Yes.
Their power, their personnel, and they know they have the power now, and they're exercising their power. And how they view the world politically, and how if you don't play their game, if they don't feel you're on their side, then, well, that's going to influence their decision making, and they hold the power.
Yes, and Mike, I've said to you that the baseball players union has way too much power. The football union doesn't have enough. Like, I like to see some sort of balance. The balance in the NBA feels like it's a little out of whack. And again, maybe it's just the nature of the sport, because the players do have the talent drives that league. It's all about the star players, and none of them were really willing to exploit it until LeBron did. And LeBron said, well, I'm out of Cleveland. I'm going to Miami. And then Pat Riley, you won't give me this? Well, I'm going back to Cleveland. And then, okay, fine, we won. Guess what? I'm going to L.A. Like, and he just goes to the highest bidder. And you know what? Good for him. Like, I give LeBron all the credit, but it's changed the way everyone else thinks now, and the teams are at the mercy of the players.
Okay, back to your phones. Rocco's in the truck. Go ahead, Rocco.
So, you know, I don't entirely disagree with your reasoning, your guys' reasoning as to why Stevens got kicked upstairs. But what gives me pause was, and it occurred to me during the press conference yesterday, that how definitive it was that they, you know, naming Stevens president of basketball ops. And, you know, I would think if they were just trying to keep him on board so they didn't have to pay out this money and get nothing back in return, that they'd, you know, tell him that he was moving up to the front office and a position to be named later, leave it somewhat undefined.
Right.
You know, and so that overly concerns me because I think both of them need to go. So, I mean, and because I believe, like you, Mike, that I don't think the players, I think it's more than indifference. I think they don't really like Stevens. I don't think they really like Ainge. And
I think it's clear, Rocco. Thanks for the call and hanging on. I think it's clear. I mean, there's not one peep of support in now over 24 hours since these guys stepped aside.
I forgot. I'm sorry to cut you off, Maz, but I forgot. I said Tatum was, you know, doing an Instagram salutation to the new Duke coach yesterday. He was retweeting Evan Turner saying, I was hoping you would be the coach.
Right.
So he took the time to comment on Evan Turner, but not one word for Stevens or Ainge.
Right.
The guys that he's worked with his entire NBA career. I mean, what is that telling you?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I told you, I think that they just don't. I think they look at those guys and say, I got nothing in common with him. I just have to listen because he's the coach.
Well, I mean, that first piece about if they just want to keep Stevens on board in any capacity, they could have made him a consultant, I suppose, but who knows what the language is in a contract. Maybe he could turn that down. You know, you can't make me do anything. You can't make me mop floors. You know, if I'm still going to be contractually bound to you, it's either as coach or president of basketball operations.
Yeah, right. It could have been in the deal.
Like I'm telling you, there's something to do with the language of the contract, the duties he is, you know, required to perform, the rights over him, what they're willing to pay him and or the new coach or the new GM. Like, that's it. That's the you know, one of the missing pieces here. It's not about basketball.
I do agree with the caller that they're straddling it. And so this is part of the problem, is that you sit there and say, okay, well, they, you know, they blew out Ainge, but they kept the guy that he brought in to run the team on the floor, and then now they're let him doing it. So effectively, it's the same administration. You're just going to have a different head coach, which in theory, Stevens is going to pick, although we all know there are going to be more, you know, more voices in that discussion than just his. But the point is, if you're going to start over and overhaul the organization and bring in new thoughts and new eyes and new voices, you got to get rid of both.
Absolutely.
You got to get rid of both, because again, if you wanted to, and it starts with the GM, because if you wanted to bring in a new president to replace Ainge, he probably would have blown out Stevens. So it's got to go that way. And so this does feel like they're kind of half-assing it.
Because they don't want to pay the coach to sit on his ass for a year. Or there's some piece in there that did not make it a clean break. Contractual piece. A contractual money piece that prevented the clean break. And if Stevens' contract were up or he had 1 year to go, I think this thing would have looked totally different. But they owe him 5-6 more years. And Wick's not willing to write that check yet. So that's what I think happened. Back with your phones on everything, including the Bruins tonight at the Islanders. We'll get to that. Don't go anywhere right after this.
Boston's home for sports.
Hey, gang.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When I decided to walk away, Brad, I did tell Wick. He tried to talk me out of it. He tried to get me to stay. I've talked to Pags and... I talked with Irv, and then, you know, they tried to get me to stay, but just basically said, hey, we're grateful for what you've done. You have the right to do what you want. And they asked for some people that they thought that, you know, would I help them in the transition? Would I help them come up with some names and replacements? And I said, sure, I'd be happy to help. And so I was going through that process for a week or so, and they maybe less, and Wick thought it was best that I tell Brad, and I said, yeah, I agree. I want to tell Brad. So I told Brad, and we're going through the process slowly with Wick and myself. When we talk every third or fourth day, I could tell that, Wick wasn't really very excited about people that he thought that he could get to replace Brad or replace me. And then when Brad talked with Wick, I think they broached the subject, and Wick was very excited when he had the opportunity for Brad to replace me.
But they started elsewhere in their GM search, as Danny Ainge confirmed this morning on TNR. Just another indication that this is a forced marriage between the Celtics and Brad Stevens as president of basketball operations. Okay, that and the Bruins here down the stretch, or whatever the heck else you want. Here's Joe in Swampscott. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good.
Tony, you had said something a little bit ago, and Mike, you said something, too, about them shelving him upstairs for about a year or so. My take is that after the NBA season, that I think Wick will reach out to the NBA and ask to talk to Doc Rivers, and I think Doc Rivers might end up as the Celtics general manager. So that's my take on it, and I'd like to hang up and listen to you.
Why would Doc leave Philadelphia?
He wouldn't.
I mean, if he's got GM power, I guess.
Yeah, the only way is if you give him both jobs.
Right.
But Wick said the other day it's two jobs with the Celtics.
We don't do that on the Celtics.
Right.
Exactly.
And so, you know, now look, if you're asking me, is it something I would consider? Sure. Yeah, if that's what it takes, hey, we'll give you Stevens. You can have him, so you'll have a coach. You'll get Stevens, and you know, we'll take Doc, and he'll run the whole show. I'd be interested in it, but I don't think it's realistic.
No, me neither. Mike in Brooklyn on the Bruins on the Islanders. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So I'm worried about the Bruins' defensive depth going into tonight. The first 10 minutes of team's home ice are particularly physical, and Trotz did it in the Penguins series. I'd expect him to roll the fourth line a couple extra times early in the game, feed off the crowd, and he targeted Letang in that series. I'd be worried about him dumping it into Grizzlick's corner and just mashing him and taking him away from the PP1 option and really forcing McAvoy to log extensive ice time.
You should worry about it. Absolutely. Grizzlick's someone to target.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. Not a big physical guy. You can go after him physically, and he, you know, that first pair, that McAvoy-Grizzlick pair has been great. That would really deal a blow to the Bruins. It's not the first time, you know, you just said the Islanders did that to the Penguins. They're going to do it to you. That's coming for sure. And that Clutterbuck line, I think they start him every night. I think that's like what Trotz does. So that's coming. Book it.
Was it game one where Grizzlick got pinned against the boards and hurt his knee?
Oh, that Komarov hit.
Remember that?
Pancaked him.
Yeah.
Pulverized him. I think it was game one.
Yeah,
yes.
I just couldn't remember if it was game one or if it was in the previous series. You can't lose Grizzlick. I've been impressed with Grizzlick. I think he's done well. I've been pleasantly surprised.
No,
there. He's
a decent off-brand Torrey Krug.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's a good player.
James,
but I'm worried about him holding up.
James in Linfield with a Bruins question for us. Hi, James.
Hey, Felger. I got a problem with what you said earlier about David Pastrnak pissing you off. Personally, I think he's been by far the best Bruin. Maybe up there with Bergeron, but he's been probably the best Bruin in this playoffs. I'll give you the play last night with the goaltender interference, but that's a bang-bang play. And if you want to say he blew that game, on the same token, you have to say he single-handedly won game one with that hat trick.
I don't think he blew the game. I think that was a stupid penalty.
It was. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Then why is he pissing you off?
Because I think he makes too many mistakes. Too many mistakes, James. Your comment line says, do Felger and Maz take back their pasta takes? He's been their best player in the playoffs. I do not take back a single thing. You think winning one round, James, and one game in the second round is enough to say like you've settled some sort of argument on a player?
No, I'm not. But like the biggest knock against Pastrnak is he doesn't show up in the playoffs. He's absolutely showing up this playoff. Every time he gets the puck, I stand up. Like, he's been making amazing plays. The goals he's been making, he's been doing it all himself. Like, not all of it, but on most of these goals, he's making the opportunities for himself, and it's really fun to watch. Like, he's playing really...
He's fun to watch, James.
Yes, he was great Saturday night. Their best player in the postseason has been Brad Marchand. Brad Marchand showed up more in the Washington series.
McAvoy's
been better, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, one among that group. The other thing is, let's not forget, the beginning of the Washington series, Pasta wasn't great.
Right.
He had an atrocious turnover in that Capitals series, if you remember, right at the blue line, which led to you ended up winning the game, but it was a killer turnover coming out of your own zone. So, no, I hold him to a high standard, caller. I mean, I just don't want him to be the finesse player that scores goal and is wee fun to watch. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs. You got to take care of the puck. You got to take hits. You've got to be willing to stick your nose in there. You've got to grind it out through all four rounds, seven games times four. And he hasn't done that yet. He hasn't done that as a pro yet. And so he hasn't settled anything.
And I didn't think he was that great in the last game either.
No, he was off. He was off in the last game.
Like he
apologize.
Wasn't.
Apologize.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you're ready to take it back? Nope. Nope, I'm not.
Mike and Methuen on the Celts. Go ahead, Mike.
I think now is a perfect opportunity to turn the entire organization over to Jason Tatum because the superstar is everything. I'm telling you, superstar is everything in that league. It's everything in that league, and that's really you want to guarantee a way. Not a guarantee, but you want to give yourself the best chance of keeping him when his contract expires. That's the way to do it. And if he still decides to leave after that's over, and you're known as the organization, guess what? When you come here, we're going to turn the organization over to you. Then that's their best pitch going forward because you have a guy here.
Oh, so I think the next coaching hire has to be made with Tatum in mind.
Yes.
For sure.
Yep.
But it's like, I can't give him carte blanche to pick the next guy. He's now some buddy from St. Louis. Like, you can't do that either. It's got to be someone who he connects with and would respect, but who's also going to drive him to be a better pro.
Yes.
So you got to find that mix.
Yeah, I don't want him picking his buddies either, but I'm telling you, you got to pick the coach for Tatum and Brown.
Yes.
That is absolutely priority one. You have to do that because that is a critical, you know, part of your future. So look, they've each got 3 years left on their contract, which means after two, if you don't have them convinced, you have to trade them. What are you going to do? Let them go to free agency and get nothing? You can't do that with those guys.
No, sir.
So you got 2 years to figure it out. 2 years. They better get it right. They got to get a coach in here that can connect with those two.
Okay, Tommy and Lynn, what's your Bruins take today?
What's up, boys? How are you guys?
Go ahead, go.
This is what I have to say. Okay, go Bees tonight, and it's time for Jeremy Lozard to bounce back in Felga. I'm happy that Craig Smith's back in the lineup because we can win this game. 5-2, let's go Bees.
Okay, and once again to prove that Tommy and Lynn and Ryan Billerica are not the same guy. Ryan and Billerica, hi.
What's up, boys? Listen, Jake DeBrusk, he freaking blows, okay? Every time I notice him, he's just skating around, okay? And he doesn't even play that physically because every time he gets sat on his ass, he takes 10 freaking years to get up and get back in the play. And he brings every line that he plays with down. And he's really pissing me off. You know it's bad when I notice Carson freaking Kuhlman more than you. It's unfreaking believable. I hate this guy.
I'm with
you.
Thank you. Okay, you're welcome. I don't hate DeBrusk. I just think he's such a guy. You know what he is? I think we've made this analogy before. He is literally the winger that you play in the table hockey game.
Yeah, goes up
just,
and back.
Just goes, just put the lever forward, pull it back, spin him around. No hockey sense. No,
with the long stick.
No head for the game right now. He's the short stick guy. He's the off winger that just goes up and down the wing and makes no creative plays, has no scoring touch. And we can just spin the thing, and it's all that he does. He's got no sense for the game, no creativity, no spatial awareness of those around him. I just think he is such a guy.
Thank God Smith is back tonight.
It's big, actually.
It's huge. That line's totally different without him out there. And I just love the effort he gives. I mean, he's a good Bruin. Like, he's a good fit for them is what I mean. You know, plays both ends, is relentless, has got a little bit of skill. Like, in a lot of ways, he is. He's a perfect fit for them, and he beats the hell out of DeBrusk.
All right, one more segment of your excellent phone calls. There's an open line here at 617-779-0985. Grab it. We'll talk to you right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Please, Mass.
What the?
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
Left side of the line, here's Martian. Pulls it to the far corner. Back up top, it comes to McAvoy. He traps it on his back end. Beats far circle, Martian. Shoots, he scores! His 100th career playoff point is the game tire on the power play. Brad Martian sizzles it in. Bruins 3, Islanders 3.
A big moment there. Again, the Bruins have played 7 postseason games. They haven't lost one in regulation, which tells me something. I still think they're playing well. And it was a hell of a moment. And even nights where they could lose, they sort of hang in there and come through and push it to the max. The only two games they've lost have been in overtime. It was a heck of a moment there from Brad Marchand. I will say, you know, it is a little bit of a blown opportunity. I mean, you could have really, I think, put your foot on them if you had come back to win that game. Down 2 goals, 3rd period, complete the comeback in overtime, head to New York with a 2-0 lead. Them talking to themselves a little bit. I would have preferred that position to this position. I'll grant you that.
Definitely. And especially against a team that kind of prides itself on suffocating you after a 3-1 lead. Like you said, you know, they got a 2-goal advantage. It's not exactly like Edmonton having a 2-goal advantage. So I just thought, you know, they had a chance to steal the game there. And the ending was just a killer. killer. I told you, I thought they made a lot of stupid mistakes in that game, and the Islanders' resiliency impresses me.
Okay, game three tonight, 98.5, the Sports Hub, pregame at 7, puck drop at 7:30. If you're watching on TV, do pre and post with me and Tony Amonte on NBC Sports Boston.
I thought of something else I'd like to see tonight, and or at least going on in this series, is, you know, what Taylor Hall looked like in that first series. Because he hasn't played as well as he played against Washington, I think, so far.
Yeah, he hasn't finished. He still feels dangerous to me. He feels dangerous to me above the dots. Feels dangerous to me coming into the zone, skating the wing. Down low, I'm fine. I need to see more down low. He's got to finish down low. Hold the puck, slow down the game a little bit, finish. Like that first line. Like that first line is just, talk about a threesome. The game has just slowed down for them. I mean, it's just.
Well, they toy with people, those guys.
Absolutely toy with you.
They do. They toy with people. I mean, and the other thing is the Marchand-Bergeron chemistry is ridiculous. You could blindfold those guys and they'd know where they are.
But, you know, for Taylor Hall, like, slow it down a little. I think everything is just this
jumpy
blur.
Full speed, rush up ice, and
he's a little hyper.
Usually gets poke checked away at some point. It's usually one too many deke, one too many stick handle. He just sort of blazes his way into trouble. It's like, pull up, slow down, take a look, pause a second. You know, the game is, I don't think the game slows down for him. It hasn't slowed down for him yet like it does these other guys.
I think that's part of what scares opposing defensemen, though. He's moving so damn fast that they make mistakes. So I just think maybe they're going against better defensemen now and he can't pull it off. And I mean that in the playoffs overall. You're going to get better competition in the playoffs. He still tries to go through too many people.
Definitely.
He does that. It's maddening.
Okay, your phone. Steven in Boston. Go, Steven.
Guys, I just don't understand in some respects why the Islanders are a team that people think that why did we lose to this team when the fact that, Mike, look at Pelech, Leddy, Mayfield on defense. You have Bevelier, Pageau, Bailey, Nelson. And you also have Barzal now coming around. This is a very formidable team. I'm just kind of confused as to, I think they're the team that you need to get out of that division, and you're going to have an easier time with other teams.
Okay, so
they're good. The Bruins are more talented than them.
Yes,
they are.
I'll tell you, I've underrated their forward group. They have better, more dangerous forwards than I gave them credit for. Beauvallier is he's a dangerous player.
Yeah, he's good.
Their D, I have not been impressed. I've not seen the shutdown, stifling, you have no room. I mean, how many shots have the Bruins gotten in these two games?
Oh, a lot.
It must be like 80.
The goalie worries me more than the defense.
And their goaltending, right. Like, I feel like their D-zone play and their goaltending, that hasn't come as advertised to me.
Yeah, look, now, you know, again, I pay a lot more attention in the playoffs, so I'm watching the Islanders more than I would have during the regular season. Mayfield, I don't see anything overly special there.
Me neither.
Watch him skate. He looks like freaking Herman Munster, for crying out loud. He looks a little clumsy to me.
And Leddy is a liability defensively. Charlie Coyle's goal, again, he just brushed off Leddy like he was a mosquito. And I don't think Varlamov did well on that goal either. I've yet to see the stifling, you have no room to roam, New York Islanders. I think you've had plenty of room, and not all the time. I'll tell you, like 24/7, all 60 minutes. But I'm telling you, you've gotten more chances and more room to make plays than I thought you were going to get. And maybe that's a carryover from the Pittsburgh series with the Islanders, where they gave up goals there too.
I mean, they haven't stopped the first line yet. They haven't.
I mean, not even close. I mean, I think Pastrnak was a little off this last game, but it's not like they've taken away time and space. You know, like there were games against the Blues. You want to go back to there where I felt like the Blues totally rubbed out that Bergeron line.
Totally.
Like, I didn't notice you with the puck. I didn't notice you creating room or space or creating chances. If it wasn't on the power play, I didn't notice you. I don't feel that's going on here.
Well, no, and the Islanders don't have the size that Washington has or that the Blues had back then and still have. So I think that's a factor. There is more room.
Yeah, I would agree. Jim in Providence. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned with Tuukka given his history, saying that he's fine and he's really not. Will Cassidy be able to pull him if he needs to, because the reporters saw that the other night, and if you watch the second goal particularly, he looked like an old man that couldn't even bend over to get down on the ice to get that puck. And given, you know, again, this might be his last go around. Will Cassidy have the stones to pull him if it's 2-0 tonight and he's not moving side to side or getting down like he should?
Jim,
should be.
It's a good question. Good concern. I don't think so. I don't think he will have the stones to pull him sooner rather than later. You know, that was a hope, that they would have a quick trigger on Rask, that they'd get out ahead of any sort of potential collapse or whatever, the Rask thing, that he would do it before, you know, you were in a spot for it really to cost you, because they have Swayman and you could really make that switch quicker than you normally would. And after listening to Cassidy today, I don't think that's on the table.
No, look, you might catch a break, though, as far as game three goes, because you get an extra day off. So he might be in a little better shape, tonight than he was the last one. We'll see.
Colin in Brighton has a Celtic story for us. Go ahead, Colin.
Hey, thanks, Felger. I was at dinner last night, and I saw Carson Edwards, and I thought his answer was pretty funny when I asked him what we're going to do about a coach. He had no idea as well as we did. I thought it was funny how well they kept it under wraps. And then also, I wanted to say go Bees and Matt is a pussy.
Oh, I can take it. Don't worry.
Is it you care to respond?
No, no.
Genius there, Colin.
Believe me, I've been called a lot worse.
Calling in.
That's part of the job.
I don't really have a good story.
One way, then your story sucked.
It did suck. Yeah, it was kind of funny.
I feel bad for Carson Edwards. A freaking boring loser in his face at dinner.
Was he wearing those tiny shorts?
Leave me alone. Unless you have something to say, it's halfway interesting. Bore.
Yeah, even he didn't know.
Ron in Roxbury. Go ahead, Ron.
What's going on, boys? Look, I'm going to be straight up. I'm going to say her name. Betty. Betty from the San Antonio Spurs, assistant coach. I can see it's Becky.
I'm going to let you go before you...
They are getting liquored up for the Bruins.
Oh, no question about it.
Yeah,
Thursday night.
Yeah.
I mean, ready to go.
Thursday's the new Friday.
His comment line say, Jason Kidd, no thank you.
No, thank you.
Unless Tatum wants him, and then I'd consider it.
Right.
Chris in Worcester on the Bees. Hi, Chris.
I hope I can do better than the rest of those other two. I hope so. I wanted to call about Lausanne, but I have to agree. Taylor Hall looked tired. Really tired in that game, like he, I don't know, sucking tubes or something about that. But and I hopefully with Craig Smith back, that invigorates, great word, huh? Them, those guys. But I'm afraid of Lausanne. I can't see that again. He should have dumped that puck down behind the net, and I can't believe he made that pass. I was so peeved at that.
Okay, well, it could be worse tonight because you don't have the last change and Barry Trotz can really exploit him more even than he did in Boston. Yes, Maz, go ahead, please.
Yeah, but now that Smith is back, I think Hall's going to be invigorated. Yeah, he could be invigorated. What's that process like? Like, do they inject you?
With vigor.
Yeah, vinegar. Invigorated.
You really stink up the bed when you go.
Yeah, they're playing with piss and vinegar. Yeah. They get piss and invigorated.
I didn't think Hall looked tired, by the way. I just thought he looked like jumpy, and he didn't have.
Yes, he's jumpy. I agree. Yeah, he is. He's hyper.
Yeah,
he is. He's hyper. Totally. The guy who looks tired at times is DeBrusque. Like he's hard to
definitely
in game one. He looked out of shape to me. He was sucking wind, and I'm not saying he was. I'm just saying that's how he looked. Like he's got a freaking piano on his back. Dude, what's wrong with you? You're like 25 years old. Did you get your ass in gear?
Carl in Grafton. Hi, Carl. Go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. I agree with everything you said. I hadn't even thought about the fact that he might have actually gotten fired. I just was blown away by the news. And just the way that, you know, Simmons or Brad just rises to the top without having to do anything, just it's offensive, really. It's like there's no accountability. There's no, you know what I mean, like, where did this come from, really?
So, but, again, Carl, I mean,
imagine that if you were one of these guys in the league that was clamoring to be a GM, and all of a sudden you've heard, wait, Brad Stevens is the general manager. Wait, the president of basketball ops of the Boston Celtics?
You mean the team that is the worst underachieving team in the league whose players absolutely hate the coach and won't say one nice word about him? He got promoted to president.
I mean, that'd be like naming me program director of this radio station. Like, how did he get that job?
No, like, really. Like, not to mention the guys who are Ainge's assistants. Like, we just got leapfrogged by him.
Right. But again, if it satisfies the caller in any way, shape, or form, I don't think he's long for the job. I think it's a placeholder situation as they sort out contracts or rights or things of that nature. And he might not even make it to the draft or the season.
Well, what did Jeff Goodman say with Zoe Beadle today? 18 months?
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
So if Goodman said 18 months, I'm on firm footing. I don't think it's going to be that long.
I'll tell you what. If Dallas gets bounced, Milwaukee gets bounced, Carlisle goes to Milwaukee, I wouldn't rule out Stevens in Dallas.
Me neither. And this is one that feels like...
No, Murray, I'm just putting the pieces together.
Because yeah.
I told you that apparently the word is that Carlisle and Cuban are not getting along together in Dallas because they disagree over how to handle Luka Doncic. That's sort of the buzz there. And if Milwaukee loses, and, you know, you got to kind of find a way to get through with Giannis on board, right? So
yep.
Budenholzer will be gone, in which case Carlisle goes to Milwaukee. And then if I'm Cuban, I'm coming to get Brad Stevens.
No.
And he would do it.
Would not surprise me one bit. And, folks, just like it wouldn't surprise me one bit, was we told you for months that Brad Stevens would not be the coach. I told you the writing's on the wall there for months. It would not surprise me one bit if he doesn't even make it to the draft as your president of basketball operations. When is the effing draft?
It's in June.
So, like,
we're in June.
Yeah,
typically in June. It's typically in June, but the schedule's later this year, so it's probably July.
Well, whatever.
July 29th.
Yeah, see, I told you.
But the thing that Maz says, happens, there's a little movement in the league after the postseason, and Stevens is involved in it, and he doesn't even make it to your effing draft.
I wouldn't rule that out.
Me neither. The final word comes your way next. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Station. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Jim.
Nobody. Well, with the reshuffling with the Celtics brass, let's call them what they really are, firings, our own Adam Jones, Knights here on 98.5 of Sports Hub, has to transition as well.
God, I think I heard this last night.
Well, he no longer can
mock. I caught part of this too, I think.
Yeah, I haven't heard this. He can no longer mock the coach, Brad Stevens, as G. Willikers. No, now he can mock him as GM Willikers.
All right, here's how it goes, fellas. You guys want Kemba Walker? I can't trade him to you. He's damaged goods. I can't not shoot you guys straight. All right, fellas. I mean, Kemba Walker, he's not completely healthy. Do you guys want Marcus Smart? Well, you know, I mean, Marcus Smart, I mean, he's not the greatest shooter out there that I've ever seen. And boy, he really hustles around out there. But gee willikers, that a lot of fake hustling. Yeah, you don't want all that headache on your team. How about you just take Jason Tatum? Will you guys be happy with that? I don't want to break your balls over here. Just take Tatum off our hands, would you? I think that's fair. Fair is fair. Let's just make the deal. All right? Done. I'll send over the paperwork. Like, I can just see him getting bent over a table when it comes to these trades.
God.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they have a lot of great pieces to move either.
No.
It's not like there's going to be GMs banging his door down saying, I need Peyton Pritchard on my team. I need Aaron Nesmith. I need Romeo Langford. I need Taco Fall or whoever the hell else. There may be calls about Brown and Tatum, but I hope he doesn't take them all that seriously unless it's a major, major move. And if it is, I trust him to, you know, at least listen and maybe do more than Danny would have ever done. But yeah, I mean, it's going to have to be him being proactive to try and change this roster because there's not going to be a lot of GMs who are banging down his door to get any of these crappy players they have.
Maybe we have it wrong. Maybe he goes full Professor Chaos with his trades. Yeah, that's right. You want Grant Williams, don't you? Yeah. Take Taco. Yeah. Yes. Like maybe he really goes to the dark side now that he's GM Willikers. I hadn't really considered that.
So there's also this whole, have you heard his rap?
No.
I don't think I have, no.
The Slim Shady thing?
Oh, yes, yeah, I have heard
this
before.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow. I'm telling you, I am buying into the whole type of theory, though, that Stevens is the baby-faced assassin. he and his wife, like the Russian spies, the two of them.
Okay, Maz, we have the baseball hour coming up. What do you got there, buddy?
Oh, big win by the Red Sox. They avoid disaster. They went 1-3 in Houston. There's a reason to celebrate.
I sense sarcasm.
So we will.
All that was missing there was the.
Yeah. So they did. They avoided a sweep. We'll talk about that and really the meaning of the whole four-game series, because I think this was a. Boy, was this a slap in the face, for lack of a better description of or where the Red Sox are and what they are. And I do think it put some heat on Chaim Bloom. Because this team is in it, and so you still have to try to improve it because they have some ground to make up. I think that's been clear or was made clear in this series. And also, Joel Sherman had an interesting item in the New York Post about cheating in baseball that we will get to during the hour as well.
Okay, once again, pre and post on TV with Amonte and I on NBC Sports Boston. Catch you in just a little bit. In an hour, we'll be on. But I highly encourage you to listen on the radio, most importantly.
With Amonte and me.
Yeah?
Me.
Is that that's how that goes?
Would you say, do you want to come to the movies with I?
No, I wouldn't.
Then you'd say with me.
Okay.
Wow. He just toughs your ass.
No, he sure did. Sit down, dummy.
But you can join Murray and I.
No, well, tell my mom that, because she's got it wrong, too, then.
No, I is a subject, me is an object.
As I was saying, Amonte and me on TV tonight, pre and post, or listen on the radio. Dunkin' Donuts pregame starts here on 98.5 The Sports Hub at 7. Puck drop at 7:30. We're back at 2 tomorrow to talk about it. See you then, fellas.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.